In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Venus Uliana, and for the repose of the soul of Steve Flores. Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Peter Claver, and St. Peter Claver is one of the great saints of the Latin Church during the times when human flesh was thought very cheap, and particularly those of particular races were so strongly availed against and sold into slavery by their own people and then to foreign peoples. Peter Claver is a man who stood out from among the rest and went casting all things aside to make sure to minister to those who were dying on these slave ships, so that even in their moments not being able to understand fully the language which they're able to do, minister to them in the universal human language, which is compassion. You read about his stories, and he speaks about how he would spend the entirety of whatever savings or whatever donations he would get for aromatic herbs to be able to bring back to life some of these who were near the point of death and revive them so long so that they could at least begin to hear a rudimentary understanding of the Holy Gospel that saves, and then receive baptism before they would pass away in a terrible death upon mounds which were often made of sharp rocks and part shards on which they could stretch them out before they would expire from this life. So tragic were the circumstances in which they found themselves. We see that this too is given for you and me, that speaks about how you and I, within the context of the chapter, ninth chapter, the first letter of Corinthians of St. Paul, that he himself preaches a gospel not of his own willingness, but that God has compelled him to do so and sent a fire into him that he actually has to do it. So he's not free, and so he says, don't praise me because I do it. But what have I become? The one work that I try to do and strive after above everything it is that I do is to make myself, rather than somebody who is great, to make myself a slave of all so that as any possible means I could possibly do, some might come to the gospel. And when he does this, he says, if I do this, then maybe I too will have a share in the gospel. Maybe I too, he's saying, might also attain to salvation if I expend myself in all these ways. And that's why he says, I make every effort within my own life, just as every athlete does, to exercise discipline in every way possible so that I can obtain something which is beyond the capability or the knowledge of any athletic person, because they labor to receive the praise of the crowd, or a laurel which quickly turns to nothing there afterwards, or a trophy which, or a medal which eventually gathers rust and is forgotten its symbolism. But what I do, I labor for an imperishable crown, something that only endures and becomes all the more luminous in the longer it perdures into eternity. So what is he saying? He's saying here, let's give ourselves deeper discipline in our own lives, so that we ourselves might not lose the prize for which we have been set out upon this race from the moment of our baptism upon, but continually place our souls before us and God, before us and others, and to see what still needs to be stripped away. A great thing to be meditating upon on a Friday, isn't it? A day on which we refrain from eating flesh of beast or fowl, recognizing that as our Lord's flesh was torn on such a day, so too I can't even stomach the idea of touching flesh of any beast or fowl. To continually search for things within ourselves that are able to be given up and put under the headship of Christ. That's what allows us to truly be the slave of all, as our Lord is speaking. Particularly in the gospel, he says that we can't begin to discipline our brothers unless we first do that serious work of discipline in our own self. By removing all those things which offend God, all those things which are not yet converted, then when we become that one who is perfect, then we'll be able to help the other person examine all the little tiny things that are going on in their lives. It's a movement from judging the person rather than judging the sins that are going on in their lives. Ask our Lord for that grace, particularly on this day, to begin to see those things which need to be reformed within ourselves, and then to be able to go further. I want to offer you one small teaching from one of the greatest spiritual works ever written by any man, and sadly it's not written by somebody who's been canonized, because his canonization was so well argued against by the devil's advocate that he was never canonized. That is just Thomas Aquinas, who gives us the beautiful work Imitation of Christ. Just a few of the aphorisms given for us in one small section of his work. He tells you and I this: since all of you are called by this one God and redeemed by one price and imbued with one Spirit, let us endeavor to love and to serve one another. Skipping forward, he says, bear with others, and they will also bear with your difficulties. Excuse others and their faults, and you too will also be excused for yours. Have compassion on the sinner, and compassion will also be yours. Comfort those who are mournful, and you will be comforted by one in joy. Raise one who has fallen, and by the help of God, you yourself shall also be raised up. Do not be surprised or astonished if one who is frail should fall in this world, for if the angels fell from heaven and Adam was overcome by a puny apple in paradise, it often happens that a man suffers a severe temptation because of something that is indeed very small, or because of a simple annoyance on the part of another. Be kind. Be kind to a brother suffering temptation, and pray for the one who is troubled just as you would pray for yourself. Your good fortune is my good fortune because I rejoice with you, and your misfortune becomes mine also because of my compassion for you. Since we are all frail men, we are bound in charity to pray for one another. Following these simple things, given to us by Thomas Aquinas, this great man, one of the greatest spiritual writers of the whole of the Church, shows you and I the way to truly imitate Christ and to attain to that perfection. To look, as he says over and over again, at those things which are imperfect in us, and work to perfect those things. And then, finally, after having done that, we will be able to be of help to others. Following the words of the Gospel, our Lord is really saying, once you arrive at that place of being free of all these grave things, And you'll look at your brother and you'll say, well, I'm not the one to be able to pull that out of his eye, but rather I'm here maybe to encourage him upon the way to strive for something which is greater, and let somebody who's greater than I pull that from his eye, which is the great divine physician. So ask our Lord for that particular struggle that maybe was brought up in these words of St. Thomas Aquinas, to be able to work on that one thing, as not only we fast from flesh meats on this day, but as we fast from all those things which so easily hold us back from Christ. As St. Paul says, to discipline our bodies in every way, not to attain, as athletes do, that perishable crown, but to that one that endures for eternity, which is the possession of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.